You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Colorado Rockies. I am Allison Twitter from MLB.com, and I am joined by my colleague Thomas Harding, who has relentlessly covered this team the entire season for MLB.com. And I would first like to offer my congratulations on making it to the finish line. And, you know, when the air gets a little cooler and things start winding down and your team is not in contention, September can be a very long month. But we have professionals at MLB.com. Any day you are covering a baseball game at a Major League Stadium is a very good day. Thomas, would you agree with that?
I would agree totally. I mean, you know, you start any day the sun comes up and you see it, it's a great day. And when there's baseball, it's even better. It doesn't matter how far the TV cover is below 500. You've got baseball going on in front of you. And, yeah, you do kind of miss and long for the days when every pitch really matters. But, hey, those days come too.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Rockies have had quite a nice little history of postseason runs. So now they're in a position where they're going to look for next year, and they're going to start their offseason meetings, I'm sure, right away, and start planning for 2015 and spring training. So let's go over some of the things that they might be discussing. First of all, would you say that, you know, the Rockies have said many times that they would have had a pretty decent season if not for all the injuries. And while injuries have seemed to have decimated so many teams, or at least challenged them, even the ones that are contenders, the Rockies seem to have really gotten the brunt of a lot of it. And would you say that had it not been for all these injuries, that they would have been a contender?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I would say, though, that when you have a Troy Tulowitzki in the lineup, a Carlos Gonzalez being effective, guys like that really make a difference. I mean, Nolan Arenado's gone through a few things. And really, the season didn't fall apart until late May when Arenado got hurt. That seemed to be the injury that tipped things in this direction. So offensively, that team was a playoff team. There's no doubt in my mind. When you look at, though, what happened to the starting pitching staff also, maybe if Joey Chacin is there the whole time, if Jordan Lyles, who really developed, didn't miss a few months with a broken left hand. So they had a lot of injuries. They had a lot of odd injuries, whether it's two pitchers breaking their left hand or them pulling a benign tumor out of Carlos Gonzalez's finger. You know, any number of odd injuries. The problem, though, that I have with that is the bullpen did not perform anywhere near what they expected going in. A couple of things happened. I believe Boone Logan was their big signing, and Boone ended up with elbow problems. He actually had an elbow surgery at the end of last year, and they signed him to a three-year deal thinking he would be healthy, but he really had recovered from last year's surgery. And then you had Rex Brothers, the guy they expected to be the closer. He didn't perform very well at all season. He went from a ERA below 2 to just a guy that you really had a hard time trusting to get outs in a ball game. So they would have had to have made some moves along the line to make a difference and actually contend. So, yes, you could see where they were hurt by injuries, but also you could see that they weren't quite a contender, and they would have had to make some shrewd moves during the season to be one.
Yeah, that's interesting on Chacin, because I don't think we've really talked about him a lot, but his absence from that rotation, that was pretty big. And with a labrum tear, he's got some rotator cuff damage, but they didn't do any surgery. They opted for, like, strengthening and rehab program, and I don't know. I'm skeptical. Call me a curmudgeon, but I just feel like that never works out, and eventually they do need to have surgery. But he seems to be pretty primed to start, like, to pitch in winter ball in Venezuela. What do you think? I mean, you think that he can avoid surgery and get back on the major league mound someday?
Well, if you look at every pitcher, there is a tear in their labrum, and pretty much every pitcher has ligament damage. The question is, can you build around it and continue to pitch? Eventually, maybe he will need that surgery, but when does eventually come is the question. If you change your workout regimen, if you do things that maybe you hadn't done early in your career, and it seems like pitchers are always changing their regimen, they may be able to avoid it for a period of time. We're talking about a couple of years in there. You know, so many pitchers end up having the surgery that you will say that eventually he'll need surgery, but can he come back and pitch now? And watching what he's gone through to rehab it and some of the changes that he's made, maybe the old program that he was on, you know, maybe that didn't really address some of the problems, and he can skate through this for another couple of years. If the velocity comes back and the command comes back, I think that you've got a decent pitcher there, and you've got a guy to pitch at the front of the rotation for a while, and all you do is just cross your fingers and hope that the final tear doesn't come.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I don't think people realize that, like you said, I mean, every pitcher has some sort of tear. Pitching is the most unnatural motion in sports. I remember when Jimmy Williams was managing the Astros, he said the most natural motion is an underhanded pitch.
Right.
What these guys do, it's so violent on the shoulders, and they do it, and they throw it, you know, 100 times in a game, and they're going at 90 miles an hour. That takes its toll pretty early.
Yes, it does. I mean, if you go back to the very beginnings of baseball, pitchers were about 50 feet from the batter, and they had to throw underhanded, and they couldn't break their wrist or make the ball spin or anything. And that's where this game began. Of course, you know, you would imagine that if you are a pitcher, you're like, this is for the birds. I need to find a new way. And ever since then, we've been dealing with pitchers' arm problems, and I think it's gotten even worse now because – the measure of whether you even get the opportunity is your velocity, even though that's not the most important thing in pitching. So you're going to constantly see pitchers with elbow and shoulder problems.
So now let's talk about some of the guys that are making a ton of money for the Rockies and might not actually be in the long-term plans. I still am very skeptical on this part, too, because I just, you know, they can make some trades and sort of fortify other areas. But when it comes to these huge contracts, I mean, that's a big part of it is finding a team that wants to take on that contract and give up the prospects. And, of course, that means that, you know, they wouldn't have to absorb as much of the contract, you know, as they normally would if they can get better prospects. But it just seems like that would be an extremely difficult thing to do, especially with Tulowitzki, who is not only making a ton of money, is also not healthy. So do they really need to deal him to be able to sort of maybe solidify things for the next couple of years and be competitive?
You know, I don't think so, because if you think that you were relatively close, I can't see dealing Troy Tulowitzki and saying that you're closer because of what he means to the middle of your infield. You do have Carlos Gonzalez, who's making a little bit less money, but he also has that injury situation that you watch. I would probably say that if you're going to deal somebody, it would be more Carlos Gonzalez than Troy Tulowitzki, and even then, I'm not sure. I mean, because if you deal Gonzalez, you do have some strength in your outfield. Then you may have to make a decision on Michael Kadire, who's a free agent, but I don't think you can deal Gonzalez soon enough to sign Kadire back to keep the team in depth. I would think you would go a little bit lower on the scale there. Maybe you look at a Willene Rosario, who at the end of the season, some of the power's come back. He's had a lot of hand injuries, and really, if you look at him, you look at an American League catcher, a guy who's a multi-position player, DH sometimes, and he could be valuable that way. Maybe he could get you something back. Another guy that I would look at if I were trying to make some sort of move is Drew Stubbs. They got Stubbs from the Indians for Josh Altman, the left-handed reliever, and maybe a guy like that could help your bullpen by making a deal there. He's in the arbitration process. He's going to make pretty good money, and he's really coming off of a good year at a spot where the Rockies have a lot of players. So I would first look a little bit lower on the scale and see if I could do something there to shore up the bullpen and maybe not touch Tulowitzki and Carlos Gonzalez right now.
Is there any worry in the organization? I mean, you hear little bits and pieces here and there just about Tulowitzki. Like, is he going to eventually just get tired of this and want to go play for a winner? I can't see him like really making a big stink out of it and, you know, taking it publicly, which sort of forces the hand of the team. But is there any concern there that he's just going to be sort of, you know, a little discontented and want to maybe play for a team that wins?
I think he wants to play for a team that wins. The priority is here, though. And let's face it, he signed through 2020, and he understands that. I remember there was some stuff around the All-Star game where he talked to Matt Holliday about the future and what it's like to contend and things like that. But when Matt Holliday was dealt from here, he did not have that long-term contract. So Tulowitzki did commit, and he understands there's some meaning to that commitment. For him to kind of work his way out of here. I don't think it's at that point yet. I think another season or two where it's absolutely horrible, it may be unbearable for him, and he may go public. Right now, when he does go public and he talks about, hey, I want to win, he's talking about trying to win here. He's talking about making the moves here, hoping guys get better around him. And he hasn't attempted to force his way out at this point. I don't think that's an immediate concern right now.
Well, that's good for Rockies fans. You know, we'll see. I mean, 2020, that's so far away. When you put it in those terms, it seems like
Yes. He's
going to be there for a while. So even if anything happens, it could be a few years before he tries to, you know, start knocking on the door to get out of there.
Plus he doesn't have that no-trade clause. He's not, and usually when you have the no-trade clause, you can kind of use that by going to the organization and say, hey, there are certain teams. They have guys. I'm not going to engineer this exactly, but you know that they have guys who can help, and maybe you want to send me here as opposed to another place. But with no rights in that respect, it's kind of hard for him to even demand a trade because who knows? He could be sent anywhere, somewhere that he doesn't want to go.
So is there money available for free agents? And if so, do they have a wish list or priorities where they want to start plugging people in?
Michael Kadire, his contract comes off the books at the end of the season, and I think they can use some of that money to fill some other holes. When you look at this team, are they ever going to sign the top-level free agent pitcher? The question is no. I mean, the answer is no to that one. So what you look at is you build your bullpen. Maybe even if you want to deal a Willian Rosario, you go out and try to sign a guy. Russell Martin seems to be the guy that everyone talks about. And, man, I'd love to be Russell Martin right now with the way he's finishing the season. And with free agency coming and the Pirates really wanting to keep him there, he's going to be a rich man at the end of the season. So if the Rockies are going to spend, it will probably be trying to bid on a Russell Martin type guy. But if they don't, you build your bullpen. Maybe you get another starter. Maybe even you make a creative trade to get yourself another starter. And after that, though, you look at this team and the way it's structured and the payroll, what you're looking at is a team that's always going to be pretty young in the starting rotation because they're not going to spend huge dollars, and they're going to be pretty young on the bench. So you're not going to go out and sign a guy like a veteran bat off the bench type guy. So you just look and see if you can fill here and there, and you really have to depend on the guys you have getting better.
Well, we'll keep our eye on it. And Thomas, thank you so much for your participation this season and for making this a fun 15 minutes. So appreciate everything and enjoy that first day of the off season. It's always, you know, a pretty good day too. So kick back and relax a little bit, and we will catch up with you soon.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.